extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? John Hoskins, he is the co-founder and sales practice leader of Advantage Performance Group. Advantage Performance Group is a unique network of sales and management training consultants who work together to give clients an army of experts with the convenience of working with one firm. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to discuss kind of in depth with you today how salespeople can build business relationships with C-level executives. Are there some key strategies to building a secure, rewarding relationship with a high-level executive?
Well, I think two things really come to mind whenever this topic gets raised, and I must say it does get raised frequently. And your other guest, I think Tony Perinello, has had a lot to do with that with his book. But I think one thing is that there's somewhat of a myth about C-level calling. We really prefer to talk about it as executive selling and not necessarily C-level. And the second thing that comes to mind for me is when I think of this topic is I'm always reminded of, the movie Wall Street. And I don't know if you remember the young sales rep who was trying to get to the most powerful guy on Wall Street, Michael Douglas.
Yes, I do.
You recall the scene? Well, there was a guy named Gordon Gekko, and he's sitting in front of the guy, and he sort of turns to him and says, tell me something I don't know. And I think that's an aspect of C-level selling, which is these people, they're looking for value, strategic value, from somebody that's calling on them, and a lot of times that has to do with helping them understand or see things in their business they may not already see.
So how does that lowly sales guy increase his perceived value to the high-level executive?
Well, and you're right, it's about credibility. It's kind of an old maxim, I guess, but like many things that are real common sense, they're not too common. And the thing we always talk about is do your homework. You cannot... risk, even if you get the opportunity to get in front of a C-level person, not really, really understanding their business at an in-depth level so they don't have to waste their time, educating you about what it is they're trying to do. You have to be an expert in their eye.
Well, I'll tell you, you hit the nail right on the head. I believe if you're not an expert, the first thing they want to do is get rid of you.
Sure. And it's really, we talk about strategic relevance and how do you become strategically relevant. Of course, if you're selling, paper clips or electricity or, kind of a commodity, it becomes more difficult. But you need to figure out a way to put your product in the context of the issues that they're wrestling with and, kind of what keeps them up at night.
I agree with that. But what about the competitor who comes in claiming the same thing? How do you get rid of that guy?
Well, it's interesting in the research that the Real Learning Company has done. One of the things that they found was that these executives, when we queried them about whether or not they had built partnerships with outside, providers, they're pretty much in the mode of, only doing that with a few people. So when we asked them about partnerships and, salespeople getting to them in the process, it takes a pretty strong partner to stay in there, and you have to be very desirable in their eyes because they're only going to do this with a couple of people.
Well, it takes hard work, and there's got to be a lot of value exchange involved in it. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You cannot come to the table and sort of expect them to, listen to your pitch, so to speak, but you have to put it in the context of what's important to them and what are the issues that they're trying to resolve and what's your solution have to do with that?
And it, would that be their the value that you're trying to put through? How do I increase my value to this guy?
Well, you know, one of the things we looked at was, when do these people actually get involved in the decision-making process? And if you think about sales cycle, most organizations talk about sales process, but a lot of organizations don't think about the customer's buying process. And I think every sales manager encourages a sales rep to, you know, get higher in the account. Unfortunately, what we've discovered is that sales reps tend to do that too late, and they at that point are really swimming upstream in terms of trying to get involved with that C-level executive in the buying decision.
So you
where they get involved is they get involved early, and they also get involved late. So, you know, we have an expression in one of our workshops. We say, if you want to, get high, get in early and stay in late.
And if I'm building my value, how does this guy make an opinion of me? What does he formulate? How does he formulate his opinion of who I am? Is it based on what I bring to the table for his business, or the questions that I ask, or the statements that I make? What are my key triggers?
Well, you know, I think Tony covers that really well in his book in terms of what you have to do to sort of get their attention. Probably another big issue is just getting access. You know, what's the most efficient and effective means to get on this person's radar screen? And we've done some research in that area as well.
And what do you find has worked the best?
Well, we actually called senior level executives and asked them about, you know, different media. Do they respond to email? Do they respond to direct mail? Do they respond to, seminar offers? Does a phone call, just picking up the phone and calling them direct, work? You know, what's the best way to get their attention? And there was an overwhelming kind of blip on the radar screen that really shouldn't have surprised us, but it kind of did, and that comes back to the old referral. Most of these people are more inclined to see a salesperson if that salesperson has the name of someone that C-level person or executive buyer knows, and they use that name to get access to that person.
And does that kind of break the barrier down? Does that make it easier for the person to get in?
Sure, because a lot of it's about trust. And, they want to know that you're eager to build a relationship with them, and you know their business, and that you're thinking of new ways that they can kind of address the business challenges they face. But most of all, you know, it's about building trust and credibility, and you kind of overcome that barrier if you're referencing somebody that they already know and trust.
Let me throw this at you. We've talked about what to do when you're there, but I know a lot of people are listening right now and they're sort of tapping their foot going, all right, I know what to do when I'm in there. How do I get in there? What would you recommend to a salesperson in order to gain access to this executive officer?
Well, I think it just goes back to what we just talked about. It's basically, you know, choosing a method where you have a referral is the one way we know is best for getting to them. From there, it breaks down, you know, kind of least efficient, least effective is something like an email, even though people do continue to think that, you know, executives read email. And even direct letters are not necessarily, they don't get to the top of the pile. So, you know, what we have found is by far the most powerful thing you can do is find a referral. And that referral does not have to be from internal people. It can be from respected colleagues. It can be from another client contact. It can be outside their industry, outside their company, but we have found that most salespeople spend a minimum amount of their time getting referrals, and yet that's one of the best ways to get to the executive suite.
Why are people reluctant to give referrals, do you think?
Well, you're sort of putting your name and reputation on the line, and I think really, in some respects, people aren't reluctant to give referrals. It's just that there's a reluctance to ask people to give you a referral.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that, if you know, motivation follows action. If you do it, it's surprising how often it works.
If I don't get one after I've asked for it, is that a report card on how good I'm doing as a company to serve my customer?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think that sometimes I think the reluctance to ask is that they just don't want to be rejected.
Sure.
Well, now let's suppose I've gotten in there and I'm now you know, dancing with this C-level person. Is there a way to service them that's better? Is there a service strategy that you recommend?
Well, again, this whole notion of getting in early and staying in late, what we discovered is that, you know, executives who mandate initiatives and projects for which products are purchased to implement those projects, they're involved early in the decision-making so that they're sort of they're really the genesis of the project idea, and they create budgets for it, and then people go about spending those budgets and looking for solutions to initiate that. But they also come at the tail end of the project as well, and they look for return on investment. So this notion of staying in late means that once you're in there, if you do undertake a project, that it's important to loop back to the senior level person after implementation and say, here's what happened as a result of the work that we've done. And that will earn you the right to that next project.
That's cool.
Well, if you think about just the way salespeople spend their time, and you've maybe experienced this as well, is while they're trying to sell you something, you hear from them almost every day, every week, every hour. You know, how you doing, Jeffrey? You know, have you made your decision yet? Boom, you make the decision, you sign the papers, they deliver whatever goods or services they said they were going to. You don't hear from them much anymore. Well, that's a big mistake in executive level selling.
I think it's a huge mistake.
And it's probably a huge mistake in all sales.
Do you lose credibility with that?
Well, you know, they're looking for someone who's not just in it for the short term. They really want to, you know, talk to someone that's kind of demonstrated the ability to hang in for the long haul. And they want to know that you're just not looking for the quick sale, but you're really there to work with them over the long haul.
I mean, that obviously the company's going to buy again. They bought one time before. The only question is from who? It seems as though the first sale is the hard sale. The second one's the easy one.
Well, and, you know, it may, you know, sort of raise the question of why are they even looking around? I know our people tend to get a large amount of their business from existing customers, and I'm sure that's true of most sales organizations. And, you know, yet I still think they make the mistake sometimes of not spending enough time post-sale, making sure that the customer is really happy with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, I totally appreciate your time with us today. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.